BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Ad-da-dum.
Joe.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe.
Ad-da-da-dum.
Joe.
That was good, wasn't it? That was suggested by Matt Shaw in Macclesfield. He says, can I have a Stephen t-shirt?
No.
I'm not sure that that's the way it works.
How would he go about getting a Stephen t-shirt? No, I can't do it. No, they're not just being given out willy-nilly. What's the root of that expression? Willy-nilly.
It's a man
with nil willies,
with no willies,
who you have to give stuff to because
he's incredibly generous.
Yeah, got no willy. Oh, yeah, he's exactly. Generous.
He's generous. He just gives it. Willy,
he's giving his willy away.
Yeah, nilly willy. Willy nilly.
That's how generous he is. Exactly. Yeah, do you want this? I don't need it.
I don't need it.
Have it. It's yours.
Have it. He's giving things away willy nilly. that's what it's from.
Dear me.
Hey, welcome to the podcast, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it, you know. And it's a packed show this week, so we won't ramble too much at the top of the show. And we'll be back, of course, halfway through for Retro Text the Nation. And then once again at the end for a little more end fun.
It's interminable.
It's absolutely interminable. So let's get on with this week's show.
Pew! Podcast. Communication from the future. Beaming down from chat space relatively slow. Podcast. Plug in the computer. Prepare for download.
Here we go!
Podcast.
Adam and Joe climbing into pod.
Podcast.
Pod ready to be cast.
Podcast.
Cast the pod! Not like that, though. Do it again. There you go.
I went to see Star Trek yesterday.
Oh, did you like it?
It was just great. I must say, I preferred, if I had to be critical about it, I preferred the first hour to the second hour.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? There came a point where I just peaked. I couldn't get any happier than I did. You know, I was pretty happy right the way through. Mm. I mean, there was just a non-stop series of fantastic fights and set pieces in the first hour.
And isn't Zachary Pinto good?
Spock.
Spock, yeah.
Spockles is great. You know who my favourite was? Chekhov.
Oh, really?
The 17-year-old Chekhov. Like, the first time he speaks...
Anton Yelich, or
is
something
his name?
He's called, yeah.
Is he really East European, the actor?
No. For Extraction, I think. He's an American when he talks normally. His parentage might be Eastern European.
He does a crazy accent, in like, over the top. They make a joke out of the fact that his accent's so mental. But last week, you were talking about creating taglines.
I know. I'm embarrassed about this. I was mocking a zoo journalist for putting the, quote, set faces to stunned on the Star Trek poster. And, of course, as hundreds of people emailed in, that's a Simpsons quote, what Bart Simpson says before he's about to open some sort of cupboard in the school and Miss Crabapple is snogging someone or something, and he says to his schoolmate, set faces to stunned. So that's a bit embarrassing for me, isn't it? I've been casting aspersions on Matt Groening and the Simpsons writers.
Joe,
and everyone knows they're amazing.
He even had to wheel out the pirate R there for you.
R.
Because he was so ashamed.
That's how bad things are getting.
I don't think that's a terrible mistake, because I think in the Simpsons episode that occurred in, there was no actual Star Trek reference even, you know? So it was, I would say it was lazy of the Simpsons writers.
Yes.
Right? And it was brilliant of the zoo journalist to finally find the correct home for that line.
I've discovered a new way of ego surfing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Twitter searching.
Oh, my lord.
It's a way you can be involved in Twitter without actually joining Twitter. You can just search it for what people are saying. And I came across a Twitter from the zoo journalist who'd written that quote.
Oh, yeah.
Going, Adam and Joe are currently taking the mickey out of my quote.
Yeah.
He was a bit angry. So I apologised to him.
We weren't taking the mickey. We gave it maximum respect last week.
I was taking the mickey.
Yeah. Well, people have emailed and texted in their own suggestions. Here's a few from Barney. These are actually very good, Barney. He says, Dear Adam and Joe, thanks very much for your weekly podcast, which I enjoy very much. There's almost no chance of me ever joining the ranks of Brown Nose Squadron. As the thought of being up at 9 a.m. He's taking the mick out of Black Squadron there, you see, calling them Brown Nose Squadron. The thought of being up at 9 a.m. on Saturday fills me with a breathless horror and disgust. So he won't be hearing this being read out unless it's included in the podcast. But Barney suggests for Star Trek taglines, boldly go and see it.
Yeah, and see it is in brackets.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's all right, isn't it? From your list of films to see this summer, this is one to check off.
That's good.
That's good. Make no bones, brackets McCoy, about it. Spock Notch Entertainment.
That's my favourite. Spock Notch Entertainment.
Because you could isolate
that. That's fun to say.
Bit. Exactly.
Spock Notch.
That is Spock Notch.
That's absolutely Spock Notch.
Do you know, what did you think of the film? It was Spock Notch.
Yeah.
And you could, instead of giving two thumbs up, you could just lift your ears.
Lift your ears. Or if you were a crew member of the Enterprise, you could pop something up Spock's notch.
Yeah.
In celebration of Barrow or something.
In fact, why don't they have, instead of like...
How would Spock react to that?
He would say, that's illogical.
Would he? Yeah. Because why would you put,
why would you put that up
Barrow up someone's
up notch?
Notch? What is his notch?
Don't go into it even further. Don't go into the notch. Further than
we
you need to go.
We are going into the notch, Captain.
We're boldly going into Spock's notch.
Just talking. Just talking.
It was, of course, the Sony Awards, listeners. And as Adam so cleverly said to somebody the other day while I was listening, in America, they refer to the Oscars as the Sonys of the movie industry.
That's right. They're
That's
that
how important they are. Yeah. Very important. In fact, I think all DJs have been talking about them a lot because a lot of them were nominated. I heard Danny Baker getting a bit annoyed.
Was he?
On his programme on BBC London, he was getting a bit annoyed about losing. I mean, it's weird because they nominate a bronze, a silver and a gold.
Yeah.
And then only the gold winner goes up to accept the awards.
And the gold winner is the only one that gets any kind of thing to take away. Mm. They get a really nice bit of personal.
So you sort of feel like you've won when you're nominated, but then when you don't win the gold, you sort of feel like you've lost. It's strange.
Well, because you have to sit through the ceremony and everything.
Yeah, which is a losing proposition. And some people come up to you afterwards, because we're very excited that we won three silvers. You know, that was amazing. We're excited that anyone listens at all. But a lot of people came up to us afterwards, and some of them would say, oh, congratulations, amazing. And other people would go, oh, bad luck. And it was hard to know how to feel.
Yeah. How did you feel in the end? Did you feel disappointed or elated?
No, I feel elated. Three
absolutely
silvers
amazing
for this.
Amazing.
Old
my mum
tugboat.
My mum was absolutely over the moon. She couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
She was absolutely delighted.
Do you know what I thought, though?
What?
I thought, well, I wonder what the relative value of silver to gold is. And I wonder if actually three bits of silver are worth more than one bit of gold.
These days.
So I actually went on the internet and looked at the precious metal currency rates. And no, gold's worth much, 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 much more than silver.
Right.
And three bits of silver, no, they just make up a fraction of the cost of... Why gold's really valuable.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, I mean, just... its reputation is justified.
Good.
I've checked.
I think silver is more valuable. The only thing that troubled me about the Silver Award, right, is a routine by Jerry Seinfeld. Have you seen that, where he's talking about the Olympics?
No.
Yeah, let me quote it for you. He says, the Olympics is really my favourite sporting event. I won't do a Jerry Seinfeld impression. Although I think I have a problem with that silver medal. Because when you think about it, you win the gold, you feel good. You win the bronze, you think, well, at least I got something. But when you win the silver, it's like, congratulations, you almost won. Of all the losers, you came in first of that group. You're the number one loser. No one lost ahead of you. But then I found, when I was searching around for that routine on the internet, I found a very angry letter from a gentleman who'd seen that quote in an article about the Olympics. And he says, he's called Jerry Parsons, and he wrote into this website called The Pantograph to their sports section and said, I was shocked and very disappointed to read the Jerry Seinfeld Olympics quote on the front page of The Pantograph sports section on Wednesday. I don't know if it was an attempt at humour or a statement of philosophy. Either way, it was inappropriate. In the midst of the Olympic Games, calling an athlete who places second in the world a loser appears to be an extremely poor choice of words. The tremendous positives of athletics, and this could apply to our show as well, include enjoyment, realistic goal setting, discipline, dealing with setbacks, building self-esteem, sociability, and, less applicable to our show, physical fitness. These positives, mixed with sacrifice and practice, produce an athlete who cannot be called a loser. An athlete does not need to be first to be a winner. Jerry Parsons.
Point well made.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jerry.
Must be tough getting through life if you don't have a sense of humour, mustn't it? I mean, if you've got none at all. Imagine how annoyed you'd get at comedy and jokes in general.
Yeah.
They'd make you furious all the time.
I thought you were talking about me for a second there.
Oh, this is classic. Check this out. It's classic, man. Oh, no. This is so classic. Yeah, look at that. It's classic.
Sort of. Now, a friend of ours works in the advertising industry, and they've been doing some commercials recently. And in the course of doing these commercials, they came across a whole new load of kind of special advertising demographic jargon, right?
Oh, I love advertising jargon.
And in the olden days, they used to refer to, you know, advertising people love to put people in boxes. That's their favorite thing, you know? You know the way bands hate being put in boxes?
Well, bands hate being pigeonholed.
They hate being
pigeonholed. That's different.
But advertising people absolutely adore pigeonholing people and popping them in boxes.
Yeah.
And what they do is they separate groups into categories like ABC ones.
Mm.
But ABC ones and things like that, that's just sort of technical.
It's a way to target and break down your market.
Exactly, and absolutely be specific about who you're selling to.
Absolutely.
But now it's a little less clinical and a bit more colloquial the way they talk about their target market. But they're still talking about them absolutely humorlessly. Mm-hmm. So I was told that these people were referring to the target audience as, for example, Charlottes, Tinas, and Bettys.
Oh, my gosh.
Are the Charlottes going to get this? I'm not so sure. I think the Bettys will get it, but I'm not so sure about the Charlottes and the Tinas.
What's the difference?
Well, Charlottes, let me tell you, and this is obviously mainly female.
This is real, is it? This is real terminology.
This is real terminology that's used by a lot of advertisers. Charlottes, women aged between 25 and 28 years old who are single and go out a lot. They spend lots on beauty products and looking good. They work, but they don't earn much. They tend to read magazines like Grazia, things like that.
Right.
Tinas, they are mums between the age of 30 and 35 years old. It's all about the family with Tinas and less about themselves. They spend a lot of money on family things rather than themselves. They buy lots of treats for the kids. My wife's a Tina, incidentally. They love family packs. I mean, my wife adores family packs. 2 for 3, that kind of thing.
Right.
She gets very excited. You get her a family pack of anything and she'll start crying.
with emotion. With raw emotion.
With absolute joy.
Wow.
Tears of joy coming down her face at the sight of a family pack. Tinas are known as the primary caregivers.
Yeah. PCGs.
Okay, PCGs. Bettys, they are older women, right?
Old.
The families have grown up, moved out maybe. They're really into living life to the full. They spend a lot, because they've been living life not to the full. They've been living life about a quarter or maybe a third.
That's how I like to live life.
Yeah.
Half full.
Half full. Just, you know, leave a bit
it's
of room
less
for
less risky.
Exactly. So they really love to live life to the full. They spend quite a lot on health improvement stuff.
Yes.
Vitamins and things like that.
Vitamins.
Jane Fonda would be a Betty, for example, with her wrinkly skin.
Yeah, well, she'd be a very sexy Betty.
All three of these groups, the Charlottes, the Tinas and the Bettys, have a lust for life.
Mm.
That's useful when you're selling to people to know that they have a lust for life because it informs the tone of your advert.
Well, because your product's going to improve their life.
Yeah. Here's a group that our friend Garth Jennings thought of when I was talking to him about this phenomenon. Paddies, right? Married with children. I think he was thinking about himself when he thought of this group.
Yeah.
They are married with children. They spend a long time, longer on the toilet than they used to because it's such a peaceful place to escape from children. This is men specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Paddies rarely check to see what the wife is spending money on. But when he does check on her purchases, he explodes with fury at the madness of it all. Paddies spend a lot of money on leads and connectors for computers rather than clothes or personal items. Paddies have rediscovered the joy of riding their bikes. Paddies can drink half a bottle of wine extremely quickly of an evening.
That's good.
I thought of my group was Shedwards, men called Edwards with... Men called Edward with sheds. I'm a shed.
That's what you would fit in. I think I'm a Nancy.
Are you? What's a Nancy?
No, I'm not sure I'm a Nancy now that I say it out loud. I'm having second thoughts.
Edwards, right? Men with sheds. Shedwards.
Yeah, I think I'm a Gunthor.
Uh-huh.
A Gunthor.
Like the guy from Friends.
Yeah.
Men with sheds act like they are in charge of the shed.
Mm.
Make it clear that the shed is boring and cluttered and dangerous to stop other people going into the shed so that they can have it for themselves. They are secretly spending money on luxury items for the shed that could conceivably be intended for use by the whole family. For example, folding chairs, beer fridge, DAB radio, candles, etc. But actually, they're just...
Isn't that an Adam?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They're just designed to improve your life in the shed. I'd be curious to know if any of our listeners could come up with some more useful categories for
advertisers. Well, this could be a Text the Nation,
couldn't
it? Yeah,
should we do this as Text the Nation?
Yeah, what about this as Text the Nation? You have to invent new advertising categories? I mean, so that advertisers can target their products more precisely. Are there any demographics that they're missing that could be summed up by a single person's name?
We haven't even touched on the teens yet and the stuff that they're into.
That's true. So we need a name and then a sort of description of the kind of thing they do that would help us target a product.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best?
It's Adam. So, Joe, MPs, expenses.
Oh, I'm glad you've brought this up because there hasn't been enough talk about this subject in the media.
I know you like hot button topics.
I love hot button topics.
I saw Dervla Cohen. Do you know the actress Dervla Cohen? She was in Ballykiss Angel and she's a well-known TV actress. Mm. And she was on The One Show. Is it still called The One Show?
Yes.
With Adrian Childs and the lady. And they were talking about MPs' expenses and that. And they just asked Dervla Cohen. And I thought maybe she'd come out with some kind of wishy-washy. Yeah, you know, well, that's shocking. That's what I would come out with if I was asked about that on a TV show. She was absolutely adamant. She
disgusted.
Said, it's a disgrace. Yeah. It's an absolute disgrace. We've been let down. I spent my whole life being honest. I never fiddled a single thing in my life. And I think it's shocking. And even Adrian Charles was like, what, you never fiddled anything? Not a single thing? You've been dishonored? No! Came the answer from... She said it nicer than that. She didn't shout. But her attitude was saying...
Well, now I'm worried about you and Adrian Charles.
Why?
Because you've clearly fiddled things.
Have you not fiddled nothing?
Never.
Never. You're like Dervla Cohen.
I've never fiddled anything.
I don't believe you. I do believe Dervla Cohen. I don't believe you. You are the fiddler. You're Johnny Fiddler.
What thing to accuse me of? What's your evidence?
You're the Yehudi Menuhin of
what,
life.
I fiddled.
You love to fiddle.
What? Where's your evidence?
I don't know. I'm projecting. I fiddled lots of things.
Well, clearly.
Have you never... You've never taken, like, toilet paper from work?
No.
Bit of computer printing paper?
Pens. Sometimes I steal pens.
You're the fiddler.
Biros.
Yehudi
Menuhin. Is that
bad? Yes.
Could an MP be thrown out of court for nicking a biro?
Definitely.
What about a lighter? Sometimes I go home with other people's lighters in the past. I've done that.
Public apology.
I hereby apologise unreservedly
check.
To listeners of the BBC for
right out
of in
check.
1985 taking Chris Barnes's Bic lighter accidentally from his house.
Now you've busted Barnes for being a filthy smoker. He's not going to thank you for that.
This was in the 80s.
Yeah, well.
Everyone smoked in the 80s.
That's true.
It was healthy back
then. It was acceptable in the 80s.
That's the only thing you've ever fiddled, is it?
Never tried to...
You are such a liar.
No, I'm not a big fiddler. I'm not a big fiddler, but I'm...
He can't even
look
at me.
Well, I'm not looking at it because I'm starting to remember some of your fiddles. And I don't want to talk about them on the air.
What about the photographs that we've got of your fiddles, all the good times that we used to have?
Oh, okay. Now I'm remembering. That wasn't fiddling. That was stealing.
Oh, right.
That wasn't as subtle as fiddling.
Fiddling's a nice word for stealing.
That was just theft. I may have done some shoplifting
grand
in
larceny.
The 80s.
But not true.
That's something that lots of kids go through.
That's not true. And we're not encouraging it by any means.
No, it's a terrible thing. But that's a bit different. That's a kind of rite of passage when you're discovering the nature of property.
You weren't
and
shoplifting,
theft.
Though. Come on. Wasn't technically shoplifting. As a member of the Big British Cult, you could even get thrown out retrospectively for admitting something.
Something
like
I
that.
Did in 1986.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Come on. If they're putting people in prison for with DNA evidence, you know, I mean, that's murder, obviously, it's slightly different. But, yeah, they could retrospectively caution you, hang you out, because they don't, the castle doesn't want...
I can't believe that this link has ended up with me being forced into a criminal confession.
I didn't
force
you.
About petty shoplifting I did in the mid-80s. When it started out with MPs tax fiddling, and now I'm on the ropes.
See, this is
I've
a
already
good,
got eye
this
twitch
is a good
and
example
a bad chest.
Of me not. I didn't want you to confess to any grand larceny. I was interested in like pens.
I've been skillfully
and printer
manipulated.
Paper.
I've been skillfully manipulated by Sherlock Buxton into making a confession.
We better play some more music before we're all fired.
We're just a couple of guys talking to each other. We've been friends since we were young. I am like your brother, and you are like my sister, a shy and scaredy girl, pale and thin and trembling and frightened of the world. But don't worry, little sister, I'll take care of you. I will laugh at your jokes, I'll help you to the loo. We'll get together once a week and broadcast our conversations.
and it will be quite similar to other radio stations, but slightly sloppier.
All yesterday and the day before and a lot of today, I've had a spasmodic muscle beneath my eye.
Know it very well. You're talking to Dr. Buckles.
What's going on? Beneath my left eye, in the baggage area.
Very familiar with it.
There's just a little muscle that just can't stop partying.
The eye twitch.
It's like it's having a rave all on its own.
Certainly.
The rest of the body is failing to rave.
Call me Dr. Buckles and I'll tell you what's wrong.
Dr. Buckles?
Yeah.
I've got this dance party in my eye bag and they won't stop it. It's been going on for 2 days now. I think they're taking illegal drugs in there.
It's known.
The muscle's going crazy.
Dr. Buckles says, don't worry. First of all, don't worry. It's absolutely normal.
I would have gone to Dr. Sexy, but there's a busy notice on his door.
And there's strange noises coming
straight, from. I think he's operating. He's in surgery.
Don't even go further down that path because there's all kinds of terrible twists and turns you could take. But let Dr. Buckles reassure you that you are suffering from prodigy eye.
And prodigy,
and it's a perfectly common complaint. But seriously, for a moment, it's because you're tired, man. You're run down.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
I'm
what
tired,
you get
man.
When it's what you get when you
Superhero.
Are tired, and you get a little twitchy nerve or whatever it is, muscle under your eye.
Mm.
You could probably search for it on the internet and find out exactly what it's called. But yes, it's prodigy, and you just need a bit more rest and sleep.
Really,
and you need to take care of yourself. Yeah.
Really? I'm a bit overstretched.
A bit overstretched. Going to bed too late, burning the candle at both ends.
I have been.
Yeah.
I have been.
Prodigy.
Wow. Okay.
So
thanks, Doctor.
Don't worry. Anything else?
No. I'm still going to pop in and see Dr. Sexy.
I wouldn't do. Can you give him another half an hour?
No, I'm going to go in there.
He's really very busy.
No, I am. I'm going to force my way in and...
Hang on, let me page him.
get operated on.
All right.
Because I'm very tense.
Oh, yeah. So funny. I forgot to laugh.
What's it called when you when you're in a urinal and you can't move yourself to
stage fright? Yeah, because I like to get myself in the zone sometimes. And when you get bad stage fright and you're surrounded, if you're a lady and you don't know what we're talking about, this is when men go into a urinal and it's a thing that ladies don't have to deal with.
Well, they have the opposite.
What, they have peace fright?
No, they can't. Oh, let's not go into it anyway.
The opposite of stage fright is just being very relaxed, though, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have a nice time in their cubicles.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're a man, sometimes you're standing there next to five burly men, you know, and it's very anxious-making, and you can't get in the zone and relax your muscles in your groinal area sufficiently to do your wee-wee business. So sometimes, you know, you have to kind of breathe deeply through your nose. Close your eyes. What I do is I close my eyes.
Yeah.
Breathe
I
out
close
your mouth.
My eyes.
Pull back the curtains.
Ooh,
that's
steady
the ladies
up.
Again. And then you could sing, "Peace will come to me." This is a disaster, isn't it? We're going to have our Sonys removed from us. They're going to be prized off us.
Listen.
With crowbars. Speaking of which, though, I'll take this into a slightly more family area, right? Slightly more. If you go into a lavvy, this is something I've been thinking about, and it's happened to me a few times recently. I'm still in the lavvy. There's no question of me coming out of the lavvy.
It's all right. It's a family lavvy.
It's a fun lavvy. Everyone goes to the lavvy, right? It's a leveller. The levellers go. Everyone does. So you go into a lavvy, right? And there's only one guy stood at the urinal, and there are maybe four free ones, right?
Yeah.
But you just think, I would rather go into a cubicle. Do you feel like a bit of a snob? Do you think it's a snobbish thing to do? You think, I don't want to stand. I'm going to go for a cubicle.
Well, the worrying thing is if you go into a cubicle...
And then you're busted for not actually...
Well, then and you emerge from the cubicle before the guy at the urinal's finished.
Right.
And then he knows that you've got something to hide.
Yeah, and he can hear probably that you're just doing a whizzle-wozzle. You're not even lifting the seat. And sometimes I go to
you're
a elaborate...
lifting the seat?
You have lifted the seat. You're not putting the seat down,
oh, right.
is
okay.
what I'm saying. Sometimes I go to elaborate lengths to pretend that I do need a number doble because...
number doble?
Do you know what I'm saying?
What is that?
So that the guy won't think I'm being snobbish. So he won't think, ooh, too good to stand next to me at the urinal. He has to go into the cubicle. I don't want him to think that, right? So I do all this stuff like very loudly tearing off bits of toilet paper, you know, doing all the flush and all that stuff. I mean, I do the flush anyway, of course.
Mm.
And then come out sort of... You know, acting like I've done my business, you know, cheering.
How does that look?
Cheering, punching the air, that kind of thing. looking relieved. Listen, let's play some more music. I'm so sorry about all this, ladies and gentlemen. It's Joe's fault.
Hello, Pete Doherty here. Just like to say how much I enjoy listening to the Adam and Joe podcast. Whenever life's got me down, it always brings a chuckle to my face.
Here's an email we received from Ed and Varick. Dear Adam, dear Joe, hope you're both bonny as ever. My wife and I were rather shocked to hear you singing Holloway Road to the tune of Lindsay Buckingham's Holiday Road on the show this week. Oh, I see, Holloway Road. I do apologise. Firstly, because we too sing this each time we're on the 43 bus to Islington, but not least because we sent you an MP3 of us singing Adam and Joe to the very same tune a couple of weeks ago. We were a trifle miffed that our favourite radio rapscallions didn't give it a mention. That is, if it did reach you the first time around.
Well, this was last week's Text the Nation when we were asking people about the songs they sang, you know, as part of their everyday routine that they customised.
Yeah, retooling pop songs to fit some kind of banal activity.
Domestic jingles, if you like.
And we did read out somebody who sung Holloway Road to the tune of Holiday Road, but this is Ed and Varick's version of that song, but they've changed the lyrics to be a kind of jingle for this show. Here it is.
Adam, Adam, Adam,
Joe. Adam, Adam and Joe. Adam and Joe.
Adam and Joe on the radio.
That's very nice. We don't want to encourage people to bully us now if they send us something and we don't play it, you know?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be seen to be giving in to terrorists.
No, and also there's no favouritism or anything like that.
In a way, in the sort of low-level playing field of this programme, that is an act of terrorism.
To
what they've done.
Email us.
Yes.
That's terrorism.
To email us. They haven't in so much as threatened us, but they have emailed us.
What part of it
and
was threatening?
We've absolutely folded to it instantly.
There was no threatening part of that email. We were a trifle miffed.
Now, come on, that's
terrorism.
I'm feared of miffedness.
In Cornballs' government, that's absolute terrorism.
Oh, no, they're coming this way and they're a trifle,
trifle miffed.
Miffed.
We're going to have to remove some more basic freedoms.
But listen, that comes, of course, most famously, that tune was used in National Lampoon's Vacation, which is a terrific film.
And we were talking about the scene where Chevy Chase has Chevy has a little dalliance with a lady in the hotel pool.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to remember who it was. I think it was Christie Brinkley, wasn't it?
It was whoever was the most attractive woman on the planet that week.
Billy Joel's wife, Christie Brinkley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot mama.
You can always tell the really attractive women because they always end up with a slightly duff-looking man.
Right.
You know?
Well, like, yeah, therefore fulfilling the wishes, the fantasies of all duff-looking men.
Like, all duff-looking men were so delighted when Julia Roberts went out with that wonky country and western guy. What was
his
name?
Lyle Lovett.
Lyle Lovett. That's Everyone right. was like, yes!
There is hope.
And then they got divorced. It's like, no!
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration
because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation.
But now my troubles have disappeared
because Retro Text the Nation's here.
And now my letter might be read out
instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
It's time for Retro Text the Nation, listeners, and last week's Text the Nation, of course, was about songs you kind of customise to fit in with tasks that you do in your everyday life, or just bits of your everyday life. Customised pop.
Yes, Clem in Woking had a very good name for it. Clem would be a woman.
Yeah.
She says, I think you missed a trick with the name, though. It came to me when I was listening again yesterday morning at work. You should have named it Popropriation.
That's a bit of a tongue twister, though.
Popropriation. That's quite good. I mean, no one else. That was the only suggestion we got in, so we should really use it.
Well, to kick off Popropriation, here's one that I was doing this week, and I suddenly thought, oh, this fits into our Retro Text the Nation. I was absolutely desperate for the lav on a long journey, car journey. Got out, rushed to the lavvy, and was singing, run to the loo.
That's good. Like,
run for your.
Yes.
Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
So that was one you did.
Yeah.
Here's one a listener did. JJ White says, during my university days, I would normally be picked up by my dad at the end of term for my long drive home. At around junction 3 of the M4, I'd get a little excited about how close we were getting to my house in West London and start singing, when I get that feeling, I'm in sexual Ealing, to the classic Marvin Gaye tune. There's a weird picture of him singing that with his dad. Is it JJ? Could be a girl, could be a boy. I don't know. But well done. Thank you for sending that in.
But sometimes you don't sing these things out loud. You know, you sing them in your mind, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sexual Ealing. Here's one from John in Chicago. This is slightly revolting. Dear Adam and Joe, my wife and I are often greeted by a fur ball that our cat has thrown up onto the basement floor.
Ooh, dear.
We announce the surprise to each other by singing up the stairs to the tune of Who's That Girl by the Eurythmics. Ooh, cat hole, runny and brown like poo, ooh, smelly. Ooh, cat hole.
I'm just laughing because the look on Adam's face when he looked really happy with that one.
That was very good.
It was very good.
That's from John in Chicago. Thanks, John.
Matt in Leeds says, whenever I have something in my eye causing me to itch it, I find myself singing itchy, itchy, aye, aye, da, da, to the tune of Lady Marmalade under my breath.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Itchy, itchy, aye, 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 aye. You could really go crazy with that while you're scratching away. Here's one from Simon in Clapham. He says, I always sing golden brown texture like sun when the MP when the PM is on the telly. It annoys my wife.
Says, I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah. I mean, the League of Gentlemen in their third series, I think, had a funny sketch with a kind of topical comedy troupe who were singing golden brown taxes the rich and all that kind of stuff.
Now, lots of people texted in ways to customise the Queen song Flash. Natalie Callahan said, hi, Adam and Joe. Often while taking the rubbish out, I sing trash. Ah, to the iconic Queen song. Chris Sutton says, I was at a cash point with my mate Jim. Upon receiving his money, he suddenly broke into cash. Ah. And John from St. Andrews in Fife said, when my kids, Eve and Joe, are in the bath, I'll suddenly cover them with water and sing splash. Ah. Yeah, so that's three different takes on that.
Yeah.
It's possibly the most multi-repurposeful pop song.
Here's one from Ben. He goes, hello, whenever me and my housemates are browsing in the cheese aisle in the supermarket and we spy our favourite brand of cheese, we start singing Cathedral City, Cathedral City on rock and roll to the tune of Starships, We Built This City.
That's good.
I mean, the thing is that some of these, it drifts into just like advertising jingles.
Well, then you shouldn't read them out.
You shouldn't read them out.
Those ones.
Why would you read them out?
Why would you read those ones out?
Exactly.
But that was a good one. Here's one from John in High Wycombe. When my web browser needs waking up or I'm updating my podcasts, I utilise the refresh icon. As I do this, I like to sing, the refresh is an only child. He's waiting by the park. My voice went a bit funny then.
Fresh.
Yeah. Is that the lyrics to Reflex, He's Waiting by the Park?
No.
Why has he put that then?
He's a lonely child who's waiting by the park.
It's a troubling image. I want to help that child.
Yeah.
It's dangerous to wait by the park.
On your own, without a carer.
Without a responsible adult.
Absolutely.
And here's another good one from Andy Bell. Whenever we have tuna pasta, normally on a Sunday evening.
Same here, Andy Bell.
I announce it by singing, tuna pasta, oh, a-cha-cha-cha. To the tune of Jola Taxi by Vanessa de Paradis.
I was thinking, what's that song?
Tuna pasta. La, la, la.
You clicked your teeth together.
Yeah, there. That's the sort of sexy thing.
You like that one because you absolutely love the lovely woman, don't you?
Yeah, she's a lovely woman. She's married to Johnny Depp.
Is she still?
Yeah, they're very happily married. They live a lovely boho existence wearing floppy hats.
I wonder if they have tuna pasta every Sunday and he makes her sing it.
I bet they do. I think he puts a twist on each of her nipples and takes it from there. He balances a little tuna twist.
He'd be missing a
pasta
trick if he
twist
didn't.
On
agree.
Each of the nipples.
Of course he does.
And then they just see what happens.
Vanessa.
More?
Let's have one more then.
This is from Jenny Carnegie. She says, when walking past a halal butcher's near my house, I sing, halal, is it meat you're looking for? To the tune of Hello by Lionel Richie.
Very good. Thank you so much for all your emails. If you'd like to take part in Retro Text the Nation next week, remember it's just emails. Don't text us because they just get lost in the atmosphere if you text during the week. But we'd very much like to hear your emails. Should we continue with the podcast?
Yes.
Oh, what would we have done if we hadn't?
I don't know. Just would have stopped. Total silence.
Well, it's going to carry on. Now.
Sting.
So I've been watching little bits of telly this week, and I found myself watching, what are they called? What's she called?
Cat Deeley.
No, Jordan and Peter. Peter and Jordan.
Oh, Pondre.
Katie and, yeah, on ITV2.
Poor old Pondre.
And obviously, apparently the ratings have gone up. What's that programme called? It's called Katie and Peter, Stateside or something.
Yeah.
It's the new series, the reality show of their life in Los Angeles. And obviously, the very sad news that they'd separated, split up, came through this week, didn't it?
Pondre.
So it gives an interesting sort of tone to the show.
And presumably they will have filmed right up until then, including the split. That'll be...
Who knows? We're going to have to keep watching.
Something to look forward to.
You know, it's a very obviously powerful, intelligent and taxing programme, but I've managed to watch some of it. And obviously one's looking for cracks in the relationship in a kind of morbid way.
Yeah.
You know, it's only human,
of course,
isn't it? To morbidly. And there
to
was
be
quite a big...
studying other people and to be hoping and rubbing your hands together with glee.
That's what ITV2 is all about, isn't it?
Taking pleasure in other people's misery.
Yeah, exactly. It's the sort of ambulance chases
that's
channel.
Their new slogan.
It is. They've got the new Kerry Katona series coming on there. And
that's right.
She's actually in quite serious... difficulty, isn't she?
ITV2, but yeah, taking pleasure in other people's misery.
They're still in there with a camera crew. Anyway, there, Peter Andre, he was in, there was a little clip, and he was going up to one of their big cars outside the house in Los Angeles, and it was one of Katie's 4x4s, you know, and he opened the door and was met by a very overpowering stench. But, oh, God, that smells... what the... oh, God, what's... this is Katie. Katie's been using this and... oh, and he pulls out these old cartons of rancid food. Oh, that's eight-week-old chicken in there.
Oh, I thought maybe it was her new scent.
She's turned her car into a complete trash heap.
Oh.
Some people do that with their cars, you know. They'll just fling stuff in the footwell.
My wife.
Really, and they will just turn their cars into a stinky trash heap.
Yeah.
Peter opens the door. He's hit by a wall of stench, and he looks really depressed. And this seems to trigger some kind of thing about his relationship with Katie as a whole.
Yeah.
And... there may have been an edit here. I'm not sure whether it was the same thing. But moments later, he's going, I hate Katie. actually, hate's too strong a word. But sometimes she really annoys me. I mean, when I love her, I really love her. She's amazing. But when I hate her, I really hate her.
But that's their relationship in a nutshell.
Is it? That's why it's so dramatic and fun to watch.
Yeah. Because she can be damningly down and sort of grumpy.
But
Katie
I thought,
Price.
You know, using the H word there, I thought, you know, that's maybe strong and maybe that's just, you know, the little fissure there and the stench in
He's
the
learnt it off Katie because that's her whole grammar is just hate and contempt.
Is it?
She displays the kind of contempt for Pondre that it would be very difficult for any man to live
really?
With. Every now
You've
and again.
You've watched more of this programme than I have.
Yeah, because he's a likeable fellow, you know, and I wish him the best. And she's likeable.
He's a gentle giant.
She can be likeable too, you know. There are moments when she's very lovable. But sometimes the contempt that she exudes for Pondre is shocking.
Her sons are obsessed with her breasts.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Well, I mean, it's natural for
it is
children
natural,
to
isn't
be
it?
Obsessed with their mother's
but
breasts.
But markedly so.
To a certain degree. Why? Mm. I mean, in what way? Well, they're hanging off them and just ogling them and tweaking
Everything
them.
Everything a fully grown man would be doing.
Textination, text, 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 textination.
What if I didn't want to, like?
Textination.
But I'm using email and that, is that a problem?
It doesn't matter, text man.
It's like Pants Man all over again. That sounds like Philip from The Apprentice singing that one.
For our Geordie listeners there, that was created by a listener of ours, Textination Jingle, and we'll find his name at some point. We did name check him in a previous program. Sorry, no disrespect. Geordie Man, thank you very much indeed for that jingle. And of course, that means that it is time for Text the Nation, which this week is all about kind of advertising jargon, the way that advertisers categorize and break down their audience into little groups and name them. We were talking about Tina's and Betty's and Charlotte's earlier on and describing what categorized, you know, what characterized those people.
This is going to be a very useful Text the Nation for people in the advertising industry.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the names we come up with and our listeners come up with are going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, here's one from Adam Yately. He says he's suggesting a Herman. And a Herman can't cook, drive or earn money. A Herman relies on friends and family And the target products for a Herman are instant meals, Oyster cards and Jimmy Carr DVDs. I like the idea of somebody who's completely dependent on other people, a sort of parasite of a person, a sort of a limpet who just attaches himself onto other people's households and...
Right. You were a bit of a Herman for a while, weren't you?
Do you think? What makes you say that?
You used to always hang around our friend Mark's house.
Yeah, but it was nice.
It was lovely. I'm not saying you're an evil Herman. I think it's a bit harsh to characterise Hermans as parasites, because sometimes they're very nice.
Yeah.
And also there's people, I know a lot of people who can't drive, and I don't think of them as parasitic because they can't drive.
No, but you can do that for a bit. It's all right, but some people make a whole sort of life out of it.
Well, Brian Eno always boasts about the fact that he can't drive, saying that it leaves him more time to do more useful things.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got an excuse for everything, that Eno. This is from Dan in Bethnal Green. Hi, Adam and Joe. What about the Flash Eddies? This is a demographic of men of working age who generally believe status is defined by the width of their TV screen.
Yes.
They can be seen every other weekend slowly walking around Currys and other electronic stores, assessing new products, and are never afraid to go one bigger. Size matters to these men. If it's big and it's plasma, they're king of their worlds.
Eddies, are they?
That's a Flash Eddie.
Flash Eddie.
What do you think about that one?
That's very useful. I mean, you absolutely need to know your Eddies, especially if you're in the...
Telly business. Yeah. Here's one from Ra, from Nam, meaning Cheltenham. Mm. Davos. They are 18 to 22-year-old blokes with unimaginative nicknames who incessantly hug each other, but constantly make homophobic jokes to balance the books. They're interested in buying bullet-style deodorants and bodybuilding aids to sort out their weenie bodies. Ooh, a Davo.
Davos.
Does that fit with you?
Davos is good, though. That's a well-observed
one. That's good.
And that ties into your observation about those bullet-shaped deodorants. Have they removed those adverts yet?
I don't know. I hope so. It's the power of this program.
Absolutely.
If they have.
Hey, bad news, Terry. It looks as if our new bullet-shaped deodorant campaign has got the thumbs down on the Adam and Joe show on Six Music.
Quick, pull it off all bus shelters.
But it cost 10 million quid, for crying out loud there. Do we still have to take it off? Yes, because it got the thumbs down on their show.
Not only did it get the thumbs down, but Joe gave it the thumbs down.
Joe, he even gave it a pirate R.
R.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
That's right, it's Song Wars results time, listeners. Of course, last week's Song Wars, of course, he says, as if everyone would know, was themed on The Apprentice, the exciting reality programme on the telly.
And just to remind you, if you didn't hear last week's show, you didn't hear the songs. My song was kind of a goofy overview of the whole Apprentice experience from the point of view of various morons.
Mm.
And Joe's was very specifically about Margaret Mountford and her hair, which he described as being like a cloud. And I was convinced, I mean, it was a beautiful piece of work musically and in every other way as well. I was convinced that it would be used on The Apprentice, You're Fired. And I was absolutely sure that someone would get in touch with the show from that program.
Any word from
nothing.
Peak, not
I
a squeak.
I find that disgraceful.
Not a single person from The Apprentice universe conscious of what we've done. I mean, maybe it's a little bit haughty to think that they would care. Presumptuous, you know. Where
I just thought the only reason I thought maybe it might happen is because in the past Stephen Fry has got in touch with the show when we'd done.
He's just a bit more in touch. We're just a tiny little shack on the side of the big British castle. They can't hear us up in the main tower.
Obviously. I feel very disappointed.
Here are some emails we received in response to the songs. Jeff Riley said, I like Joe's song this week. It really reminded me of Sufjan Stevens.
That's a big compliment.
Matthew Clothier said, Dear Adam and Joe, I would like to vote for Adam this week. Joe's song was very good after I heard it. I didn't think that Buckles was going to be able to overcome it, but it's Team Velocimax for the win in my book.
Wow.
Cormac Lawler says, by the way, if it's any consolation to Adam, I don't think there's any musical gulf between you. You simply both have different ways of approaching the subject. Yeah, I know that sounds straight out of a self-help book, but I love these differences, and I always love both of your songs.
Oh, that's nice. James has given us a nice selection of emails.
He has.
And I've got no clue which way it's going to go. You know, I was convinced that I was going to get soundly thrashed.
No, I've got a pretty strong clue of which way it's going, because we get sent all the emails, and I added them up.
Did you?
I didn't add them up, but I definitely kept a little mental note going, oh, damn. Oh, damn. So I think you've taken it.
You reckon?
Here's the special.
Not by very much. I predict it's going to be quite close. Maybe a 60-40?
It is. 76 votes for Joe's Margaret Mountford song. 146 votes for Adam's Velocimax song.
What's that as a percentage?
That's 34% plays 66%. That's a resounding victory.
I must say I'm surprised by that. I mean,
well, I think, you know, the funnies, I just didn't make it funny.
Do you know
and
what?
People love to laugh, especially in these tough times.
They do, don't they?
And times are very tough.
But yours has been going round my head all week. I'm not joking. Margaret.
Well, that's nice of you. But clear it from your head, because this is the winner. What's it called?
This is just called The Apprentice.
Yeah, come on, be proud.
I am proud. This is The Apprentice by Adam Buxton from the point of view of Ken Corder, my character Ken Corder, and various other Pratts.
I'm going to be the next apprentice. I'm the best man for the job. Although I'm vain and self-deluded, and I'm quite a massive knob. Sir Alan, please believe me, I'm a business typhoon. I could sell ice cubes to the Eskimos and deck chairs on the moon.
Think you're a good team leader?
I can't believe you'd ask. Team Velocimax did great on this task. Yeah, we made no money and we fought all the time. And I refused to listen, but is that a flipping crime?
Who should be fired then?
You should fire the boring one. He doesn't seem to realise that it's a TV show. You gotta act like a total utter prat, otherwise, you know...
You're fired.
Oh!
Thank goodness you got rid of him, cause I'm the one who's best. Although I'm bitchy and insufferable and thick like all the rest. But I've got management experience from my time in burger shops, and I really love to delegate and think outside the box.
You're fired.
For your task this week, you must rebrand some vegetables and then convince a load of kiddies that the vegetables are cool, and then the team that sells the most amount of veggies gets the prize of doing something that's more dull than you could ever realize.
I was the project manager. We tried hard at the test. Although we didn't sell a thing, I think we were the best.
You're fired.
He's a stupid moron, she's a stupid moron. I'm going to win because I am a genius. For goodness sake, Sir Alan, don't employ a moron. Take a look at me.
Get back to
I'm
the house.
I'm going to be the next apprentice. I'm the best one for the job. Although I'm vain and self-deluded, and I'm quite a massive knob. I'm going to be the next apprentice. I'm the best one for the job. Although I'm vain and self-deluded, and I am quite a massive knob.
You're fired.
Now, Joe, I went to a quiz night last weekend.
Ooh, in a pub?
No. It was organised as a birthday celebration for a friend of mine and my wife's. And her husband and her had got together and concocted this big, elaborate quiz. And they'd put tables out in their house and there was a little gazebo. It was really a lovely evening. Mm. But I'm not very good at those quiz things. Do you go to quiz nights?
No, not but for a while.
I was put off the experience years ago. Did you come to this quiz, I wonder, with a little name drop here, Jonathan Ross and Jane Goldman? And they took us along to this quiz that was hosted by Jeremy Beadle, God rest his soul, when he was around. And he was an absolute, he had an encyclopedic brain. You know, he's a real brainiac, Beadle, and he knew all kinds of facts and figures about all sorts of things. And the quiz that he hosted was the most ludicrously difficult thing I've ever heard in my life. I didn't get a single answer.
It's the same with pub quizzes. They're very, very hard.
They are really hard.
The one I've won on a couple of occasions, there's a big charity film industry quiz.
Oh, yeah.
I've won that in the past.
You've won it?
Yeah.
What, your team has won, you mean?
Yeah.
And you've been able to get lots of... because they're all film-based questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit better. If it was all themed a bit more.
Pub quizzes tend to be very difficult. Historical questions, sure. The real minutiae.
Check out some of these questions from the quiz. Which state was created by the signing of the Lateran Treaty in 1929?
The 51st state, starring Samuel L. Jackson.
That's correct. That's the right answer. The Vatican, that was the answer to. What is the name for the horizontal movement of air?
Slipstream, starring Mark Hamill.
Advection.
Oh, nearly.
Name all seven of the Von Trapp family children.
Curly. Titty, because it might sound silly, that name, but they used to use it a lot in the 20s. Little Runjans. Roland.
Tick.
Nelly and Sid.
There's one more.
Ben.
That's correct. Do you want the real ones? Liesl, Friedrich, Luisa, Kurt, Brigitte, Marta, and Gretel.
There you go.
Little Runjans, I think they were playing with for a while, but they didn't go with
that them, seems yeah. like a comparatively easy one.
Yeah, I guess. For the ladies, maybe.
Or for, yeah, for movie fans.
I got nothing. It was humiliating.
Really? Were you on a team?
I was on a team. We didn't do too badly, the team, but no thanks to me, I'm afraid.
You needed cheering up because you were feeling rather low. But now you're doing brilliant thanks to Adam and to Joe and their podcast.
This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. How often are you washing your hair, Joe?
Well, I was interested to read that Prince... which one is the ginger one? Not William. Harry.
Oh, right.
Prince Harry.
The ginger prince.
I read in the paper he doesn't wash his hair.
Does he not?
He is of the school of hair washing what doesn't wash their hair at all.
That's right.
And apparently if you don't wash your hair for long enough, and this is something that used to go around when we were students...
Yeah.
If you don't wash your hair, nature takes control.
After about 6 months, a kind of oily balm.
6 months? Yeah,
secreted.
As long as that?
Maybe not. Maybe it's 6 days or something.
It's like, you know, people who say you shouldn't use moisturizer or anything, that right. the skin can take care of itself, but you just get it used to these weird creams and unctions, and then you make it dependent on it. And if you just stop washing, you'll go through a weird period. But then, I don't mean like washing completely, because I don't think this counts in the... You know, the basement areas,
right?
But if you stop washing the roof garden,
yeah,
then
not the spot notch.
No, not your spot notch. That has to be kept very clean. I think I've made my point.
Yeah, keep the roof garden clean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I think all those things are probably true. Maybe they would have been true if we were still living in jungles and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But when you're living in the city. And, you know, sometimes you get back...
Because of extra pollution.
Right, you get, you know, if you cycle for half an hour and you just wipe a tissue across your forehead...
Well, Harry doesn't cycle.
It's black. Yeah.
No.
Absolutely doesn't
cycle. He's got a car.
He's got a helicopter.
A chopper.
An absolute chopper. He's got a wicked chopper. Because I'm experimenting with not washing my hair, right?
Yeah.
Because I used to, until a few months ago, I would wash my hair every day, sometimes twice a day. Mm-hmm. And that's very bad for your hair, right? And I would also favor a shampoo that was a two-in-one, shampoo and conditioner, because...
They used to have some terrible chemical in them, didn't they? Like magnesium or something awful. Those
sulfuric
two-in-one
acid,
ones.
I think.
Was it sulfuric acid?
Yeah.
Alien blood.
Alien blood. But they do say the two-in-ones are very damaging. In the same way that some people say, if they see you drinking like a diet soda, they'll say, oh, they're deadly! You'll get cancer immediately! They're the most carcinogenic drinks you can buy!
I agree with that. I buy that one.
But I'm experimenting with the notion of like not washing my hair for a few
yes.
days. And I found the thing is that if you like, if I've got something special coming up, like with the Sonys, right? I
yes.
thought, what if, you know, if we win something, we might get photographed. So 2 days before, I washed my hair for the last time, and then I know that 2 days thence, my hair will be manageable, and won't, you know, will do what I want it to do. Mm. It's working quite well. What do you think? I mean, today
I think you should do one of those adverts, like what Davina McCall does.
That's true. I should.
The one where she goes, "You voted chestnut brown, the nation's favorite." Hair color.
Yeah.
I knew you would, because it's mine too.
Did you take part in that vote? I know I did.
Did you?
Of course I did.
Well, yeah. Well, who wouldn't? It's a very important national vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you should do that advert.
I would love to.
You could toss your mane and wrinkle your nose.
But the thing I don't understand about those is how often is she washing with those?
Whenever they'll pay her.
Yeah.
She'll do whatever they want.
I find it very difficult to suss out exactly when I should be shampooing and when I should leave it for a while. And
I thought you were going to leave it constantly now.
Constantly just seems a bit extreme. I don't want to look like the bloke from Shameless. You know what I mean? I don't want to look like just a tramp.
Well, keep going. Yeah. We'll check in every week. I think you should keep it unwashed until next week and
The other thing is it gets very itchy. I don't understand if you're a non-hair washer, are you supposed
That's
to like
fine. Nature,
rinse it through
nature,
with water or...?
Nature provides you with armies of nits that live in your hair and eat all the bits of stuff that get in it.
Mother Nature.
Mother Nature's nit squad. Oh, they get all the crusty bits and eat them up. It's healthy, man. Then they go to sleep in your ears.
And then you can have them as a snack.
Do get itchy now and then.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're perfectly natural. Get
Text the nation. Text. But what if I don't want to? Text the nation. I'm sending an email. Is that a problem? It doesn't matter. Text.
Young Charlotte Gilman, aged I think around 4 or 5, 6.
I'd like her to perform that live in the studio.
She's
would that
brilliant.
Be possible?
Yeah, she
it's
could.
It's amazing.
If we go on holiday, she should just fill in for us.
She really should.
It would be amazing. Text the Nation this week is all about how, if you were in the advertising industry, you would break down your demographics and basically create new types of categories of people. That's a pretty bad summation.
You'll get the idea when we get into it.
Yeah.
This is one from Alistair that has come via text. His idea for a new demographic group for advertisers to target is Big Smokies. Mm. These are young graduates that move to London as soon as they graduate and then find a way to shoehorn that fact into any conversation they have. They think it makes them look important and thrusting. And perhaps they're right.
Big Smokies.
Big Smokies.
I mean, we've always been Big Smokies, you and I, having
so,
grown
yeah,
up.
So, yeah, it's hard to detect that kind of thing, but I imagine it happens a lot, and Alistair's pointed it out there.
Right, that's a good one.
Yep, good stuff. Here is one from Holly in Leamington. The best one I've heard is the / kids, i.e. designer / model / DJ. It's someone who can't be pinned down to one career, particularly a 20-something who isn't great at any one thing, so becomes average at many things.
Right.
That's good, isn't it?
I would put myself in that category.
Yeah, we're /slashers.
Dilettantes.
Yeah, jack of all trades, but masters of none.
Masters of niche.
Here is one from an anonymous. No, hello. I'll just read it and see if the name's in there.
You haven't read these, have you?
Yeah. But I forgot. Suggested name for Text the Nation: a Chloe, an upper middle class studenty type whose entire life consists of sitting around in coffee shops attempting to appear bohemian. Suggested products to sell to them: beret, silk scarf, fancy Wellingtons for the all important festival season.
Are people wearing berets and silk scarves now?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an insane thing to do, isn't it?
Do you think?
Well, actually, I say that, but I saw someone dressed almost exactly like Molly Ringwald yesterday. You know, the way Molly Ringwald used to dress in The Breakfast Club and
Pretty in Pink,
16 Candles and things like that, i.e. adorable and lovable and very individual.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? In a really nice
sensitive
way.
Sensitive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Flowery
well,
dress.
Well, that's good news then.
You know, and I thought, hallelujah, if that part of the 80s is coming back, then I'm glad.
Yes.
Okay.
And here's one from Paddy in Exeter. For this week's Text the Nation, I thought advertising agencies ought to have a demographic for slightly older men, and they ought to call him Brian. Brian is a well-dressed man, apart from his odd socks, in his 60s or 70s, and is a kindly grandfather. He collects toy soldiers and is very excited by the History Channel and the little adverts in the Sunday Telegraph supplement, which offer innovative gardening trousers. He is a tough nut to crack in terms of selling a product, especially if it's one more aimed towards the youth market. But when a successful sale's made, both parties will be nothing short of delighted. I like that last sentence. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's just describing the sale that will be made.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now have a lovely week.
Thank you. We are the Toilet Men. Good night. You've been wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you.
Well, that's it for our podcast this week, listeners. Thank you so much for listening. And I wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who subscribed to my YouTube channel after I requested they do so a couple of weeks back. I mean, it was amazing. The response from Digiforce and Black Squadron propelled me another 10 places back up into the 90s there. And I was so humbled by the loyalty of our listeners. It was great.
Were you humbled or were you sent into a sort of a spiral of arrogant jubilation?
Both.
Power
is it possible
crazed.
To be, is it possible
power
to do
crazed
both?
Joy.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple of people sort of saying, I subscribed, Buxton, you cheat. But I don't see that it's cheating, encouraging people to subscribe to your YouTube channel. You know, all methods are legitimate, aren't they? I don't have...
You seem very defensive about it.
I don't have adverts or anything on my YouTube channel. I don't have those big buttons saying subscribe now. Am I being defensive? Is that so defensive? Is that really so defensive? Is it? I don't think so!
Well, you will talk about yourself incessantly and then shout, which is fine. It's good.
Is that so defensive? No.
Yes, whatever you want.
No. Well, you know, I'm going to reward you listeners, everyone who subscribed and continues to subscribe to my YouTube channel, by creating a new video for you shortly. I'm getting it together.
Listeners, I'd like to encourage you to unsubscribe.
Don't say
to
that.
Adam's YouTube channel, because he just needs to be taught about the balance of reality.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but I like the idea of people unsubscribing.
I don't like
really
that
angry.
Idea. I would get genuinely
upset.
You just
need to know that the world is a two-way street. They have the power to give and take away.
Brilliant. So I spent 2 weeks encouraging people to subscribe, was thanking them for doing so, and then ludicrous submarine torpedo Commander Cornish flops in.
Let's get him out of
with
the
his
100
prodigy and goes, why don't you unsubscribe? That would be funny. Why don't you unsubscribe?
Buxton hasn't dropped
life,
out of the top 100.
Life is a two-way street. You need to
be told
life is
a
two-way street. Unsubscribe. That's how you talk. With your prodigy.
Wow.
Don't ever cross me or my YouTube channel or my subscribers ever again.
Oh my God. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll be back live at the same time, 9 till noon on BBC Six Music.
Yes. Take care, have a good week, and we'll be with you next week.
Bye.
Bye, love you, bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.
Now, apparently Jarvis is going to be behind the counter at the HMV in Oxford Street. He's actually going to be, you know, like working there.
Wow.
That would be good, wouldn't it, to get served by Jarvo?
Yeah, I hope he's a sort of opinionated server.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? The kind of person who would encourage you not to buy something.
Uh-huh. What, look at your purchases?
Yeah, I used to do that when I worked at the now-defunct Tower Records.
That's the worst kind of serving person.
I'd go, no, mate, you don't want that. That's rubbish.
Did you really?
Yeah, with films. If someone was buying a real stinker, I would try and talk them out of it.
You ponce.
If they were buying a record by Bross, because that was the circa the era when I was working
You'd
in
snort.
Tower, I'd refuse to give them their change.
Oh, you are.
And they'd go, give me my change. And I'd go, I owe you nothing.
Nothing at all.
Like that, and they'd look confused.
You are exactly the kind of jerk that makes people's lives
I was only a
slightly
teenager.
Less enjoyable.